Picture this: Warren Buffett cracking jokes at shareholder meetings, Richard Branson pulling pranks on his executives, Google institutionalizing play alongside productivity. What do these success stories share? They've discovered what behavioral science confirms: humor isn't just enjoyable, it's a competitive advantage. The research is compelling. 98% of executives prefer employees with humor, and 84% believe these employees do better work. Leaders who use self-deprecating humor consistently receive higher ratings on trustworthiness and leadership ability. Yet most of us experience what Stanford professor Jennifer Aker and executive coach Naomi Bagdonis call the humor cliff. The dramatic decline from a 4-year-old's 300 daily laughs to a 40-year-old's mere 300 laughs every 2.5 months. We've traded authenticity for artificial professionalism, leaving our true selves at the office door. As our workplaces become increasingly digital and disconnected, we don't need more sterile professionalism, we desperately need more authentic human connection. Just a hint of levity can transform a moment from transactional to genuinely relational. 4 myths prevent professionals from using humor effectively. The serious business myth wrongly suggests humor doesn't belong in important work, despite contradictory research. The failure myth centers on fear of embarrassment or offense. Yet Wharton and Harvard research shows appropriate humor increases perceived confidence without status loss. Only inappropriate humor truly fails. The third myth assumes you must be funny, when simply appreciating humor matters more. Managers who do so are rated 23% more respected and 25% more pleasant to work with. Finally, the born-with-it myth incorrectly frames humor as innate rather than learnable through practice. Understanding your natural style, stand-up, aggressive-expressive, sweetheart, earnest-subtle, magnet, warm-animated, or sniper, edgy-sarcastic, helps you use humor effectively in different contexts. When we laugh, our brains release dopamine, happiness, oxytocin, trust, less cortisol, reduced stress, and endorphins, mild euphoria. This creates measurable advantages. Studies show humorous presenters were perceived as 5% more competent, 11% more confident, and 37% higher in status than serious ones. Humor correlates with intelligence. People whose submissions were rated funniest scored highest on intelligence tests. In negotiations, humor creates significant advantages. Art buyers receiving humorous price offers paid 18% more, while negotiators who shared a comic secured 33% higher value and reported 31% higher trust. Humor emerges from noticing existing absurdities rather than inventing something new. All effective humor relies on two principles: truth and misdirection. It springs from unexpected honesty, not fabrication. The joke, "Sorry I'm late, I didn't want to come," works because it cuts through social pretense with refreshing directness. Laughter occurs when our brain anticipates one direction but gets something entirely different. Rather than searching externally, mine your own life for comedic truth by spotting contrasts and contradictions. Strong emotions provide excellent entry points. Key techniques include exaggeration, playing with scale, contrast, highlighting incongruity, specificity, analogies, comparing dissimilar things with shared emotional qualities, and the rule of three, establishing a pattern with two elements, then subverting it with an unexpected third. The practical application of humor isn't about telling jokes. It's about making human connections while improving productivity. As remote work increases, our communications must create connection, not just convey information. Many professionals mistakenly believe workplace communication should lack personality, a problem so widespread that Deloitte's former CMO, Brian Fuger, created Bullfighter software to combat corporate jargon. With employees spending nearly 30% of work hours on email, even small touches of levity can transform tedious exchanges. Email sign-offs signal your personality and are perfect for humor, like using "with fingers and toes crossed" when asking favors. Since 90% of people read postscripts before the email body, PS lines are ideal for injecting humor. In workplace conflicts, levity helps difficult messages land. management consultant John Henry uses the CIA's Simple Sabotage Field Manual to show clients how they're unwittingly sabotaging themselves, creating self-recognition through humor that motivates change without defensiveness. Strategic levity transforms team dynamics by creating mental flexibility that reveals unexpected connections. Modern leadership faces a crisis of trust. 58% of employees trust strangers more than their bosses. High-trust organizations thrive, with employees 32 times more likely to take beneficial risks and 11 times more innovative. Today's workforce values authentically relatable leaders over mysteriously brilliant ones. Humor transforms tense situations, even in high-stakes environments. When Southwest Airlines accidentally used Stephen's aviation slogan instead of litigation, Stephen's CEO, Kurt Herwald, challenged Southwest's Herb Kelleher to an arm wrestling match. The event generated $6 million in positive exposure for Southwest, while Stephen's experienced 25% higher growth over the next 4 years. Leaders who acknowledge mistakes build trust and encourage risk-taking. Spanx founder Sarah Blakely holds Oops meetings where she showcases her errors and dances to relevant songs, creating a culture where failure isn't feared. Research shows approachable managers increase employee engagement by over 30%, while self-deprecating humor enhances perceived leadership ability and trustworthiness. Humor requires navigating perception differences. Though increasingly risky in our polarized workplace, humor remains valuable when used properly. Ann Libera identifies three components for humor's success: truth, we laugh at what we recognize; pain, physical or emotional discomfort; and distance, separation from the subject. These elements need proper balance. When humor fails, follow three steps: recognize, diagnose, and rectify. As your status increases, certain humor targets become off-limits, requiring a shift from punching up to self-deprecation. Research shows people laugh more at jokes from higher-status individuals, even when the joke teller can't see them, creating situations where laughter may reflect hierarchy rather than genuine amusement. Common pitfalls include telling jokes that aren't yours to tell, using inappropriate mediums, sarcasm rarely works in text, failing to context switch, and falling into personal humor-style traps. When humor fails, don't blame others for being too sensitive. Instead, trust their reaction, acknowledge your mistake, and take concrete action to make amends. Research on end-of-life regrets consistently reveals wishes for boldness, authenticity, presence, joy, and love. Humor fulfills each of these, helping us take risks, share our unconventional sides, stay present, avoid taking ourselves too seriously, and connect through shared laughter. A meaningful life inherently includes levity. Humor enhances cognitive function, too. Students taught with humor scored 11% higher on exams, while MIT studies showed comedians generated 20% more ideas in brainstorming tests, with those ideas rated 25% more creative. Humor creates psychological safety by decreasing stress hormones and improving cognitive performance across multiple metrics. Cultivating humor requires noticing and nurturing sparks of levity in everyday experiences. Instead of checking your phone, build on these small moments. Fan them into flames that warm colleagues and loved ones, even during difficult times. As Michael Lewis noted, humor is like salt on airplane food. It makes everything better. The goal isn't being funny, but introducing a totally different spirit that connects people. When facing tedium, inject playful trouble. Remember that emotion creates space for humor. If you've got love present, humor isn't that far behind.